Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 169. Nothing? 69? My name is John Morgan.
I am not childish like that.
Oh, I am super childish. My name is John Morgan. Cole Cobby is with me. We are in Las Vegas, Nevada. More specifically, we are at the spiritual birthplace of the MMA Roadshow. That's right, Buffalo Wild Wings at Warm Springs and Durango. We're not traveling. And luckily, I convinced Cole Coffee to come down here to my part of town. Hooked it up at the spiritual birthplace to get together, talk a little MMA. Should say, watching a little MMA as we're talking some MMA, man. This is kind of a unique thing. I guess this is going to happen from time to time on Thursday nights moving forward. But the PFL is on in the background here at Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's on because you used your VIP clout to have them change from the NBA draft to PFL.
I'm not going to argue with you there, sir. You know? I mean, who the hell cares about some college basketball players?
People were actually cheering. I had no clue who the players were, but people were like, whoa, like into it. I was like, okay. But it is nice. I did hear, like, once we put the fights on, I heard the random, like, oh, they're going for a guillotine or something.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so,
nice.
You know, once you put a fight on in the room, people are going to watch it.
It's good. And we'll talk some PFL in a little bit because it is happening right now. I think basically as we go along, the card will probably pretty much wrap up. And we'll definitely talk a little bit PFL. It's not going to be an in-depth breakdown because, let's say, we were watching the prelims and we were watching the main card as well. It's deep into the main card right now. But, I mean, should we tease that we've been here for a little while?
Yeah, I did have the salt and vinegar wings.
I was going to tease. I was.
They were delicious.
I forgot them
last week.
We were having a kind of a meeting with an unnamed UFC official.
Yes, yes.
That we talked about some potential partnership type things. Partnership might be the wrong word.
Yeah, because that makes it seem like we're getting money.
Yeah, that's not happening whatsoever. But I don't know, some cool stuff, I guess, to maybe tease at least.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we have lots of good ideas of things that we'd love to do with access to, you know, footages and peoples and things of that sort.
I think it's just footage.
Yeah, well.
Do you get footages?
Footages? Yeah, well, I mean, you have a footage of this stuff, footage of that stuff.
Footage eye?
Damn it. Geese and goose.
Ah.
Some ideas, you know, things that hopefully, because it's all about trying to get more content for you guys. So,
that's it.
Ultimately, the UFC has a wealth of shit that just doesn't get used. And we want to find ways to use that stuff.
Right.
So, and bring you cool and unique stuff. So hopefully
things shape out. We got some projects going there. No real big MMA last week. It was nice to have a little weekend off. We certainly didn't have any and a half episode because there wasn't anything to recap, but that is changing. By the way, I'm actually still recovering. I did go, you know, I teased I might go to another Nine Inch Nails concert.
Yeah.
I did go to another Nine Inch Nails concert.
Yeah.
I was up front, and I just got beat up, man. I was literally in the front row just moshing all
around.
Did
you get there early, or did you guys do like you maneuvered your way up to the front?
We did get there early, but at the same time, not early enough to be at the front. Plus, I was having a little cocktail.
Not MMA Junkie Fight Week early?
Not MMA Junkie Fight Week early, where we're always the first in line. Because we were having a couple of cocktails and that sort of thing. But, you know, you have a couple of ebbs and flows in the mosh pit, and you just kind of – I wasn't rude about it. I wasn't rude. But I did realize being older, like, people don't really mess with you. You know what I mean? Like, the kids and stuff. Like, if you just kind of push past them, they're just like – all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody messes with you. It kind of reminded me of, like, when I was a teenager, you know, and I'm, like, at concerts and stuff, and there was some,
you
like –
got to be respectful of your elders.
Well, yeah, exactly. I just
you
don't
are
think
now
you want to get
elder.
Wild. And now I'm a damn elder. I got a couple gray hairs up in here. It's not good.
Only a couple? Shit, look at my beard. I got – it's getting thick.
Yeah. So I was pretty proud of myself
for
hanging tough.
So did you break out the Bengay afterwards, like I suggested?
I was pretty hurting the next day. I'm not gonna lie. I was actually sore from a concert. I was quite embarrassed by the fact that I was sore after a concert. But
especially
it was fun.
If you didn't get in the mosh, because moshing.
Oh yeah.
I remember even as a young kid, when you get in the mosh pit, man, you were beat the fuck up afterwards. So, It's funny that you weren't actually participating in the mosh pit, but you were close. So
yeah.
You got sore by proximity.
We were getting bounced around a little bit, and it was the sway was going on. It was a really good set list. And I don't know.
I was
definitely fired up when I left. I had those endorphins going. I was feeling like a young kid again, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then the next day, I did not feel like a young kid. I felt old. My joints hurt, my shoulders, my knees.
That's cool. 90 snails, man. That's very unique. That's cool.
It was good. All right, so talk about MMA action, man. A lot has been going on this week. Like I said, feels like there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, even though, you know, it's a UFC week, but we're not there.
Yeah, so it feels like a non-fight week.
It feels like a non-fight week, but there's still a lot going on. Did want to say right off the bat, I was able to confirm right before we were before we got here earlier today. I don't know if anybody put it out there, but you know, Conor McGregor and Dana White were supposed to meet on Monday. No news had come out of that alleged meeting, and I found out the meeting again. Didn't happen. Yeah, scheduling conflicts again. I was told by multiple people, don't read anything into it. There's no hard feelings. There's no issues. The meeting just didn't happen. It's going to be rescheduled for a later date. But that meeting didn't happen. So if anybody's kind of waiting to find out what's going on with the Conor McGregor news, it just wasn't there. I mean, listen, dude. You look at it. You kind of read between the lines. It looks like once Conor gets cleared of whatever, you know, next month after he gets probation. Which I'm assuming is what's going to happen, they're going to book him right away, man. They need the money, right? I mean, I don't want to say they're in desperate need of the money, but Conor brings eyeballs. Conor brings dollar signs. And I know Dana was pissed off, man. I was there. I was there right after the whole chair incident, and Dana was pissed, you know. But time has gone by, and I don't know. It looks like they're probably just going to book him. You know, right after everything's cleared up.
Right after everything's clear, which is just crazy.
It is crazy. But we knew it was happening. I mean, that's what
was
always
going
to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think or hope. You know, and I guess as time goes on, the desire to see, like, just punishment, just like anything, it just fucking wanes.
Right.
Like right after it happened, it was like, man, come out with a strong, strong statement. And then now it's just like, who cares? It was so long ago. Now I see pictures of him biking along with this kid in the park, and it's like, oh, how cute is that? Oh, just let the dude fight.
Oh, you know, man.
But whatever. It is what it is. But, yeah, it's just – but, yeah, this is the same company that, you know, says one thing and then conveniently does another, you know, like I don't know. Whatever.
They need the money. And listen, they need the money.
People
want to see the fight. Fans don't want to see the fight. I mean, I think the fans don't even really care for the most part what happened. I think they just want to see the fight. Obviously, the fight to make – is Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Although Khabib is, you know, Khabib and Ali are kind of posturing a little bit. Maybe that's not even the fight we're interested in. But come on, man, that's the fight that makes money. I guess the good thing about what – I mean, I don't want to say the good thing that happened, but there's no way Conor McGregor fights in New York, right? I mean, after all that, there's no way they booked that fight at Madison Square Garden. It's going to happen in Vegas.
Yeah, I would think it happened in Vegas. But I don't really see the commission, like, denying him.
No.
I mean, I guess they could, but I mean, it's just a lot of money for the commission. Like,
You mean the New York commission or the Vegas? Oh, yeah.
I could see where the commission would maybe want to try to hold a higher ground and say, ha, look at us. See, we turned down this big money fight. So maybe they would do that, but it's just so much money possibility for them that I would think that they would want to just, you know, do like the old Pat Lundvall used to do, like, how have you learned? What have you learned, sir? I'm just going to belittle you to your face during this meeting. But if you're saying you're good, we're going to take you on your word. We lectured you. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're going to take lots of money.
Because you're talking about the taxes on the pay-per-view, the taxes on the tickets, the
money, know, just the
hotels.
Tourism, all
the hotels, the restaurants.
So much money. It's so much money that it is great. It's great for the city. I mean, like I know every time they have a Clark County just mouth waters every time a big event comes to Las Vegas. So, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense that it would be here in Vegas, but, you know.
Well, that's it. There's no news, I guess, on the Conor McGregor front, but I guess I would share with everybody that did confirm that it didn't happen and that it is still going to happen.
Yeah.
There's and again, I was told there's no beef, there's no tension. Yeah. It's not like anybody flipped the other guy off, but, you know. First of all, those are busy guys, and Conor is, I think he's spending some time in Ireland, so he'd have to come over.
And to your point, too, like, as for why maybe a lot of people don't really, you mentioned something like it seemed like a lot of people don't really care about what had happened.
I do feel that way.
I think there's to a degree, like, you are right, but also, you know, the injuries that happened weren't that severe. True. You know, some fights dropped out. It'd been a whole different situation if somebody had some lasting damage.
Like
from
if Ray
it.
Borg's corneal abrasions mean he lost and eyesight or lost, something like that.
Yeah, lost sight. Or, yeah. You know, if something.
Or Chiesa's.
If the dolly went through and gave him concussion and now he has, you know, like post-traumatic syndrome or some shit, you know, I mean.
That would change things.
Then it'd be a lot different. So now, I mean, the fact that, you know, most people now will look back and forget the injuries that took place. They're going to think all that happened was the dude broke a window to a bus. You know, what's that? What's so bad about it?
Right.
You know, they're going to forget the fact that there are a lot of people really afraid on the bus and really fearing, like, what is really going to go on, you know.
I do still hate, and not to spend too much time on this, but I do still hate the fact that, you know, you've heard a lot of legal experts say, this is a property crime. Like, bro, it's not the part of the window breaking. Like, in fact, the fact that the bus was damaged is probably the fact that people care about the least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not the bus, bro. It's not the bus.
That's the spin, man. That's the spin. It's so crazy. And that's the shit that people eventually, people not from right now or people that not paying attention, when they go back and look at this event in a year or two after it is all said and done, that's the shit, is that people are going to say it was a property crime and not anything about the fear that that was invoked about the people that were on there. You know, and I think the only thing that would maybe keep that possibility in there is if some of the civil suits come out and say something. Maybe we hear more stories to remind people of what happened to them after it.
Because those are still happening. He's still
going to
pay some
money. Still happening. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just shitty because I guarantee, you know, there's always people that find that little fine line. Oh, you know, like, this wasn't Trump's policy to do this and separate families. It wasn't this. This was an Obama. It's like, stop fucking grabbing the straws, you know.
Boy, I tell you, but you make a good point, though. I bet they try like hell to settle with everybody so they don't have to get on a stand or enter anything into public record.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they're going to want to settle with everybody that sues.
Yeah. I mean, imagine. I mean, I don't know if it goes to a civil sort of thing, if he would have to go up on the stage. I don't know if he has. It would have to be a witness for against
maybe not
the case,
in a civil thing.
In a civil thing. I don't know if he ever
it's
would
good,
have
it's
to.
A good point.
But I don't know. Maybe a lawyer would be like, yeah, you still have to. But, I mean, I think in a criminal,
there'd at
you
least
probably
be a
don't
deposition
a
or something that would probably be.
But that's the thing. I think he could probably just do a written deposition and never have to actually say anything if it comes down to civil
and keep
case.
Keep it sealed, maybe.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Crazy. All right, let's talk about another controversial figure. I wanted to bring this up because I was kind of shocked to see it. It was, what the hell is Greg Hardy doing playing football, man?
Yeah.
I saw this tweet that was sent to me by an old friend who was like, dude, look at this. And dead on, the Richmond Rough Riders, the Arena Football League team that Greg Hardy has been playing for.
Sponsored by Trojan.
basically sends this tweet out that's just like, hey, you know, Greg Hardy battled through injury and now we're making it to the finals. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, he played in a football game last weekend? And, you know, it was interesting to me because – so the first thing we did this morning when we saw this tweet is we reached out to – first of all, props to Stephen Morocco, who actually reached out to the team, the Richmond Rough Riders, and he got some quotes from the team.
Sponsored by Trojan.
Are they really sponsored by Trojan?
No. Oh, okay. If they're not, they're really, they really missing out on something there.
But I reached out to Hardy's management. I reached out to the UFC. Still don't have comment from the UFC. But I got the impression that they didn't really know what was going on. You know, they knew he had been playing for the Richmond Rough Riders. But I don't think they were aware that he was continuing to play for them. And I guess that's important to note, you know, we don't know if he's technically under contract with the UFC right now because he may not have simply executed the agreement yet. I mean, you know, he's chosen on Dana White's Contender Series to be with the UFC. Of course, it's a developmental deal. But there's no way in that developmental deal that, you know, they would allow him to go play football at the same time, man. I mean, I mean football's probably even more dangerous than MMA, wouldn't you say, in terms of you know,
it
injury
can be.
Risk?
It can be, and especially arena. Arena football is very, very fast.
It's played
differently than the regular.
You can be slammed
it's
into
super,
the walls.
Super fast. So, yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of hurt. But
So here's my thing. So here's my thing, Cole Crabby. First of all, you know, we had some Greg Hardy discussion last week. I had some people reach out to me on Twitter and basically say I was an idiot for my point of view, which I admitted I didn't really have much of a point of view. I was kind of curious how to handle it or whatever. But this is what I'm wondering, okay? The Richmond Rough Riders gave Greg Hardy an, a, What's that?
Sponsored by Trojan.
They're not. I actually looked up the corporate partners. Trojan, get up on that. They are sponsored by Golden Corral, Hilton, and Wing Zone, and many other fine establishments. But no
Trojan,
no condoms,
which is
yeah.
they should be with the Rough
should
Riders.
Be. So this podcast, they will be sponsored by in spirit.
Get the deal done. Just saying. So the thing is, like, you know, that fight week, he expressed it both before and after the fight. He expressed his passion for football, right? He admit,
yeah.
football was my first love. You know, I would love to play football again. Now,
This is the way you make it back to an NFL. Like, when guys try to get on it, either you try to get combines, whether you're in college, if you don't get into the NFL, the arena or the Canadian Football League has always been like,
right.
those are the two paths.
A chance to stay in football.
Get relevant, you know.
So, but here's my thing. So, on the one hand, like, they gave him this opportunity to play before he ever fought for the Contender Series. So, on the one hand, I could see that he feels like he owes them, right? Like, I mean, this was the conference championship, I guess, or the semifinals. I don't know exactly how their playoffs are set up. They're in the finals next week. I could see on the one hand how he's like, you know what the right thing to do here is? The right thing to do is to go help out the Rough Riders.
Sponsored by Trojan.
Who helped me out and gave me an opportunity.
He's not even on the rosters.
Well, no. Well, I don't think their websites are exactly up to date.
Well, maybe not, yeah. So maybe they are sponsored by Trojan. We just don't actually know because they're – But yeah, he's not listed on this roster right
so
now.
So I could see him on the one hand saying, you know what the right thing to do is? The right thing for me to do is to stick with this team that gave me the opportunity. But again, when I reached out to the UFC for comment, nobody was like, oh, yeah, bro, we knew that was happening. Like, it's cool. I feel like they didn't know. And again, they haven't given me a comment, so I can't tell you. But just when you talk to somebody and you kind of get that impression, like, they're like, oh, yeah, we'll get back to you on that. I feel like, A, that's kind of risky because they could very well go, God damn it, you're already a problem, and now look at this. You know what I mean? You weren't honest with this or you weren't upfront with this.
Or maybe they just thought that they were clear and he didn't think that they were clear and
what the
situation was. Maybe it's I just did it. I'm sorry, I won't do it again type thing.
But as of this podcast, we have no statement from the UFC. We have no statement from his manager. And I find it a little bit bizarre. Again, the guy seems like a nice enough dude. Obviously, the stories and the track record don't necessarily reflect that. But everybody around him, both American Top Team, both the people on this football team, say they like him, they say they respect him, they say that he knows he screwed up, but you know he wants to move past it, all those things. But this, to me, seems like it could be a red flag of
Richmond
poor
Rough
judgment.
Riders, right?
I believe that's
I don't even see him on the damn – I think you're right. I don't see him on this
– Sponsored by Georgia.
It shows – I guess this is a 2017 picture.
I'm telling you, brother.
They need to get their website up, dude, if they're still rocking out the 2017 shit.
They need to update. I tried to look before. It's not good. Anyway, I don't know. I was shocked.
They need some help.
I was shocked, and I don't know. I feel like it's something to monitor. And the whole thing that came out is that he apparently was injured in this, but not badly, but he was injured and then, you know, kind of fought through it and played. And I don't know, man. It just seems like a weird decision.
Yeah.
You know what? Another
I don't know. Maybe the fact that it is a developmental, maybe the –
there's a little more flexibility.
Maybe the verbiage isn't there that really tells him to stop it because,
right.
Let's be honest, if you're given a developmental, I would think that it's not going to have the same sort of tough text like we're under contract, especially if they're just like, we're going to set up fights for you, we're going to pay for it, whatever, and we're not quite sure where we're going to fit you in or how we're going to do it, but we're gonna work together.
Right.
It's probably not enough guaranteed money to stop him from really doing other things. But they're probably hoping that he would reach out and say, is this okay?
You think?
Can I do this just so they can keep tabs?
You think?
I wonder if there's really enough verbiage on there to really stop him from doing it. Maybe there isn't. And they're just more now surprised because so quickly he already jumped back into another sport.
Like
4 days after it. So
crazy. Anyway, just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention if you didn't notice it today because it's kind of a bizarre story, and I know a lot of people aren't really necessarily Greg Hardy fans, so interesting that he would make a decision like this, and we'll follow that as it goes along. You know what else is a horrible decision, Cold Coffee?
What's that?
Not being a member of Dollar Shave Club.
You got that right.
I'm telling you, Dollar Shave Club is the best, not only because they are fine sponsors of the MMA Roadshow, but I'm not going to lie. I'm a subscriber.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I you get the initial package for $5 a month, right? That's what you start out with. And then for a few bucks extra, I actually – thank you, sir, for those frosty beverages. I actually just do – I do the blades. It's $9 a month for the very best blades, the executive. I mean, it's close shave every week. I love it. I can change my blades out. And I like the shave butter. I know. See, you don't use the shea butter because you got that stubble over there. Me,
are you only calling it stubble? That's because my beard doesn't grow out full.
Well, I wouldn't say stubble. It's a pretty thick, full beard. It's you know, it's not quite ZZ Top over there. But you got,
that's something to aim for.
You got some stuff going on, but I like the shea butter, man. It's instead of using the shaving cream, you put the shea butter on. It keeps it all nice and clean. I'm telling you, man, Dollar Shave Club to me, it's like. If I don't have to go to the store and buy something, I don't want to. So I love it.
You know what I like?
What's that?
The One Wipe Charlie's. Mm. Except I, to be honest, I go back for seconds.
It's a One Wipe Charlie. It's not
a
One
Wipe Charlie,
but
you know, or three or so, or just kind of a back and forth Charlie.
Back and forth.
You know, you
got to
get up in there. You got to get up in there. Make sure it's clean and it smells good. It's peppermint. I have heard. Statements from my significant other that, you know, a clean hole's a happy hole. I haven't actually heard that, but I just
there's
wanted to use that.
No way you've heard that. There's no way.
There's no way.
And whose hole is she referring to?
But Agent H did actually, Agent H actually as well is a big fan of the Dollar Shave Club and actually signed up herself. So thank you, Agent H, for
they got everything, man. They
for
got
jumping in there.
On top, dude, they got shampoo. They got
mouthwash.
That's
it, the shampoo and the mouthwash and the all the, what do you call it, the shower gels and the shampoos, all the good stuff. You know, me, now that I finally got my hair, which is staying better, thank you, Keeps, you know, now that I can go to this and actually get some nice shampoos to keep it clean. But
all right, so listen, you know, I'm telling you, they're fine sponsors of the show, but it's just good stuff.
I'm telling you, no question about it.
Here's a great way. If you want to try Dollar Shave Club's products, which you should, for just $5, you can get their daily essential starter set.
Which is
it comes
a good
with
one.
Body cleanser, One Wipe Charlie's, or back and forth Charlie's if you like. It's your call.
Go back for seconds. Trust me, it's worth
those
it.
Those are the amazing butt wipes. Their world famous shave butter, which I love, and of course the best razor, the 6-blade executive. Keep the blades coming for just a few more bucks a month. You can add in shampoo, toothpaste, anything else you need for the bathroom, all that good stuff. Check it all out at dollarshaveclub.com/road. That's the key right there. You got to use that. If you just go there and sign up, we don't get no credit for that. They don't see that we're putting in work for them.
Yeah, that's right.
So go to dollarshaveclub.com/road.
Yes.
Get you some shave butter. Get you some back and forth Charlie's.
The best part, too, was when you do the starter thing is getting the little add-ons. You can add on the little add-ons for just a few extra bucks. So, you know, definitely try out some of the stuff, you know, when you're first signing up. But for a cheap, cheap price, man, I'm telling you, back and forth Charlie's, dog. Back and forth Charlie's. That peppermint.
Sorry, Dollar Shave Club. We apologize. Oh, that's great.
What did I say? It keeps your whole smell? I can't even fucking remember what I said, but whatever.
It should never be repeated. It should be repeated. All right.
Get your hole right, folks. That should be the new catchphrase.
Get your hole right. Good Lord. All right. Well, something else that had its hole right the other night, the whole card at Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Yes, that was good.
You like
good.
What I did there, bro? That was
good.
Transition.
That was back and forth banter right there.
Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series remains one of my favorite things to do each week. I love it, man. I hope they increase the number of events per year. But this last event was great. Didn't necessarily have the big star going in. You know, obviously last week everybody was paying attention to Greg Hardy.
Yep.
Next week it's going to be Antonina Shevchenko that everybody's going to be paying attention to. Nick Newell, of course, is fighting later in the year. But this was one of those cards that was more about the whole card than any one fighter on it. But damn it if they didn't deliver, man. I'm telling you, if you're not watching the Contender Series, you got to do it. 5 fights in 90 minutes.
Yeah. And those guys, it really felt like those guys that fought in this particular week's edition watched the previous one and then went and said, what do I need to do to make sure that I make a good effort to get a contract?
You're right.
And they brought it. They brought it. The fact that it was what, 5 finishes?
Yeah.
5 finishes, I don't think we've ever had 5 finishes before.
Nope, I believe it's first time.
But they were such good action that I think it was such a, and no offense to the guys that fought on the first week, it was such a cleansing of the palate that for this week, I think Dane and those guys just lost their mind because they probably in their head have allotted how many contracts they can do a particular night. So when they gave out the one developmental and only one contract the week before.
It's kind of only like giving out one.
Yeah. So it's like they gave out one contract. So they're like, well, shit, I guess we can make up.
They probably gave out four. I'll guarantee you, now I haven't spoken with them, but I guarantee you, like Dana White went crazy, gave out four contracts. I guarantee you Mick Maynard and Sean Shelby were like, holy Christ. You know what I mean? They only have so many spots. They got to fill out. But
I might have got a Coors Light there.
Oh, sorry about that, bro.
I don't know.
What's wrong with the Coors Light?
Coors Light. Everything.
But no, it was
it's
a
no
lot of
Miller
fun.
Light. It ain't no PBR award. When is Coors Light won an award?
I mean, is there Rockies, an award? Bro. I'm sure it's the Rockies.
Is there
Mountain's
an award
finest?
On the can? Does it say anything that they won back 100 years
like ago? The PBR that shows it the award-winning award from like 1893 when there were only like two
but
beers
But it was
total.
Still reward-winning.
No, so four contracts giving us fun. But the other thing I want to say, I just want to say watch the Contender Series. But the other thing, too, talking with Michael Bisping because he did the commentary again. It was pretty fun. Yeah. I had a chance to talk to him briefly before the fight started. I'm like, bro, pretty much got universally praised because if you saw after his debut, the feedback was like, Bisping killed it. Bisping's amazing. I was like, bro, pretty much universally praised. He was like, I know. I don't know how to react. He's like, I'm used to people talking shit to me.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll still talk shit about it. It's funny. I went back to the first week because remember I got yelled at. I went back to the first week when they were doing the post-fight sort of recap and preview for the next week. Remember when I hopped on the punching bag, the speed bag?
Was it in there?
I couldn't hear it. I kept listening for it, though. I thought I did.
Cold coffee pulls the most rookie move ever. We didn't even talk about that. Cole Coffey pulled the most rookie move ever at the Contender Series. Like, this is last week, not this week's show. Last week, you know, we're basically waiting for the fighters to come talk to us.
After Dana. No, it was after the fighters after Dana.
So what were
we
doing?
I thought it was done. We were done. It was they were still taping the outs for the show.
So we were all done.
I thought we were done.
We'd shot everything. And they were taping an outro, basically, like kind of a wrap-up.
A wrap-up for the show and a preview for next week.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, Cole Coffey, probably because you've been boxing a lot more at home or whatever, but Cole Coffey runs over to a speed bag that happens because we're in the Tough Gym. He walks over to a speed bag and just starts banging away on the speed bag. And it's echoing through this empty gym because there's nothing going
nothing
on.
Nothing else going on.
And all of a sudden, production assistants come flying over like, hey, stop it. Quiet, because they were still taping their outro. That's funny. So you went back and watched it.
I went back trying to see if I could hear it, and I didn't. So I don't feel bad at all. Like, I felt a little bit bad, but I was like, is it here? Is there? I think I heard it maybe at one point, but I was like, no, it just sounds like a door. So I was like, I don't care. I legit felt bad after that week. I was like, that sucks.
I'm never coming back.
I was like, I really felt bad, because Heidi Dean and everybody came, stupid security girl. Like, try to come over, and like, everybody was giving me shit.
Wow,
I was just like, I'm sorry.
Security girl, that was
well, she came on, I'm like, who the fuck are you? She's like, she was rude as fuck. I was like, who the fuck are you?
She didn't give Cole Coffey the respect Cole
Coffey deserves.
I know, right?
I was like, did you see how I was working that bag? That shit was tight. But I was like, yeah, I was embarrassed. And all I could do is just fucking apologize. I was like, I'm sorry. That was my dumbass.
It was.
And they were like, okay. I mean, like, luckily it was me. I think if it was somebody else, they probably would have been a little more fired up.
Yeah.
But they were just like, because Heidi came, she was like, who am I going to fucking yell at? I was like, me. So, yeah, I went back and tried to look for it, and it wasn't there. So, if you guys watch Contender Series and happen to hear a recap afterwards and you hear a punching bag, that was my dumbass. So.
That's so funny. Yeah. The other thing about this week's, Austin Springer was the only guy that didn't get a contract.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw on social media. I took a picture when he was sitting there by himself.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt guilty about it because it is so weird when we're back there, like, with those guys that are waiting on their fate. And I took a picture.
Dude, I had a camera sitting in front of him just recording it.
I saw, like,
mine was more awkward.
This is how awkward it was. This is how awkward it was. Four people get a contract. Austin Springer is stuck there by himself. Cole Coffey's like just got a camera stuck in his face. And they're like, all right, that's it. No more contracts. And so Cole Coffey shuts off the camera. And Austin's just kind of like all by himself. Normally there's like other fighters who be like, keep your head up, bro. Like, it's all good. We're going to get there someday. Me and you, bro, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
This time he's all by himself. Right. And everybody's just kind of like doesn't know what to do. And you were like, keep your head up, bro. That was a good fight.
And hit the rock.
You had to give him. It was funny. Like, you had to support him. So the funny thing was, like, I took a picture of him, and I didn't tag him in the tweet. But I did tweet. I'm like, man, this sport is harsh. You know what I mean? Like, four guys are in the UFC. You're sitting in the tough kitchen by yourself. You know what I mean? I didn't tag him because I kind of, like, felt guilty about taking the picture, like, even if I should publish it. But it was funny because today he was a guest on MMA Junkie Radio, and I got to ask him, I'm like, was that an asshole-ish move of me? And he had the coolest answer. He was like, no. He's like, man, this sport is about highs and lows. And he's like, I'm not going to be able to do it forever. He's like, there are great moments and there's bad moments, and I want to see every one of them documented. I want to see that range of emotions because this is my story. And I was like, dude, that is the coolest attitude ever, because I kind of feel like here, you know, I took a picture in this dude, and I wouldn't say his worst moment. I mean, he won a fight.
I was going to say, that's it. He won. He still won that night and was going to go home with at least $10,000 in his pocket. Well, eventually they'll get it. I'm not sure how they do it. They probably cut a check. But still, the fact that the team he has around him, you know, Michael Chiesa was his Max Griffin for the night, was just getting people pumped up, was happy for him. This is a guy that, while he didn't get it done in the terms of a contract, we're going to see him in the UFC at some particular point. You know, this is a way to fast-track people, but there's something about this guy that I think he'll still get there. There was a lot of this fight that wasn't, just compared to the other ones, was a snoozer compared to the other ones. But there was a lot of great technique, and you could definitely see his wrestling skills. And it just felt like he was a little maybe hesitant or gun-shy to pull at first. And I think that's the part that was maybe separating him from the other guys, which were a lot more just sort of balls-to-the-wall action. And that's something that can easily be worked on. But still, ultimately, the guy got a win. It sucked that it was awkward in that part. But I'm fully confident that at some point, again, he's going to get a nod. Like, you get these random shows that just pop up and people get calls to get on a card. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised that, even though he didn't get a contract, that if there is a regional card, a Fight Pass card or something near the Washington area, he's going to get a call.
Yep.
You know, maybe even California. Even California, a shot in California.
Maybe somebody falls off of Boise in a couple weeks.
Yep. He'll get a shot.
Maybe one of the Canadian men.
It's definitely not a sad move, and he'll probably look back and say, no harm, no foul. I maybe didn't get a multi-contract deal, but I got a one-shot deal to show it again. So,
That's cool. Jump on the Contender Series if you're not already. Hopefully, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a hardcore and you're already watching Contender Series anyway. And I guess we'll just throw out another little tease. Be on the lookout for maybe some more Contender Series content coming your way to MMA Junkie.
Oh, yeah.
We're such fans of the Contender Series. Yeah. We kind of reached out to an unnamed UFC official and told him that we were fans. Like, can we be more involved? Is there more thing we can do? And
See, our people like it. Junkies like more MMA shit.
Yeah, right.
You know? Well, it's funny, like, I mean, we go up because you do. You're right. We do like it. I mean, I love it. This fight, it's so, like, just in your face. Even though now, like, I love where I'm at. I can see the fight, but I sit at a different table that's off the side. But now they have a TV set up for me.
With a big monitor next to you.
A big, huge monitor next to me. I mean, like, I love it. So, I feel like I have, like, one of the best seats in the house now. But the fact that it's a home game, but, I mean, like, when the crowd gets into it, it sounds great, but when it's quiet, I love it because you can literally hear the canvas bouncing.
Yep.
I mean, you could hear
it. You can hear the weight of the shots, dude. You know what I mean? Like, when the shots land, you can hear it, you know?
It's so raw that it's not raw like you're watching two guys in a backyard brawl because it's, you know, they have
refined technique, their skill.
It's so cool. So, yeah, I mean, the more we could do it, I mean, I know it sounds like we're just shilling a product, but for real, folks, it is. It's a lot of fun.
It's a unique experience. It's different than anything else that's on the market. That's why it's fun.
And I think a lot of people that maybe are burned out on, like, the tough thing, they're like, oh, you're trying to throw stories down. You're trying to throw this reality.
Yeah.
TV, there's none of that bullshit right here.
This is better than
this
tough.
This is literally just coming in and we're fighting.
It's a more current, up-to-date, better version of tough. Yeah. That's it. And that's why tough is probably going away at the
end
of this year.
And it's super collapsed. Like, rather than, like,
five fights in 90 minutes.
Yeah. And then you could possibly have four contracts, four people moving on and doing stuff, as opposed to we're going to build you through weeks and weeks and weeks, and then there's going to be a finale, and then somebody's going to be rewarded with the contracts. Like, well, how cool is that if I just saw four dudes get one in one night?
So true.
It's unique.
All right. Other thing, the next day, I was technically off the next day, but on Wednesday, I spent some time at the Performance Institute. And those guys, actually, Duncan Friends from the Performance Institute, Forrest Griffin, had come in the previous day to MMA Junkie Radio, but they came out this week with their first year of research. Now, dude, this is for the hardest of hardcores, but they came out with this report, basically, that's an analysis of all the training that they've done over the first year and all the data points and everything that they've done. It's a little bit over your head when you read it at first, I'm not going to lie, but they put it online. So if anybody wants to see it, it is online. You can go to the UFC Performance Institute's Twitter, and they've got it linked there. Technically, it's media.ufc.tv/UFCPI/UFCPI_book_2018.
Jesus.
But good luck typing all that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. .pdf. But there's so much cool stuff in there. But it's high-level discussion. If you want to go back, those guys were in studio at MMA Junkie Radio for like an hour, which I've been doing a lot more. I did MMA Junkie Radio a couple days this week, and I'm going to start trying to do it more. So if you like hearing me ramble about MMA, now you can hear it on MMA Junkie Radio as well. But those guys came in and talked for like an hour, and so I won't spend a lot of time on it because if you want to hear in-depth analysis of what it is, you can go there and listen to them talk about it. But the cool thing about this cold coffee is that these points that they have, first of all, two things that really stood out to me. One, they have kind of I believe it's chapter 4, where it's kind of a recommendation of how fight camps should be laid out in terms of energy, basically how you maximize a peak. What days you should go hard, when you should taper off, and I thought that was cool because it's based on scientific data that they've collected and studied. It's not just guessing anymore.
Right.
And the other thing that's cool is in the first couple chapters, they've got these benchmarks of every single weight class, of like this range of like where the athletes are. And of course, it's no names or anything like that, but it's just data points like strength, this sort of like all these different figures that are benchmarked by weight class. And I thought it was pretty cool because if you're utilizing this information as a fighter, instead of saying, well, in my next training camp, I feel like I need to be stronger or whatever, you can actually look at it and go, man, my numbers aren't in the range.
Yeah, you got benchmarks that you can look at. Yeah, you're right.
I thought it was cool stuff.
Yeah, and it, just to quickly, at UFCPI is their Twitter, and what you're talking about is pinned on the top of their account. So rather than try to write down when
that
John just gave
media.
Me the media.
media.ufc.tv/UFCPI/UFCPI_book_2018.pdf.
Or just go to at UFCPI and it's pinned at the top, at least for right now.
I mean, if that's the way you want to do
it,
I guess.
If you want a shortcut, that's the Cliff Notes version of what you just said.
It's cool stuff. I mean, I would encourage, again, I assume that anybody that's listening to this podcast is the hardest of hardcore MMA fan. If you want to see it,
and
there's at least some cool numbers.
The sexiest of sexy, damn, the smoothest talkers,
the best looking,
the best cooks, the most number one dad, the most number one mom.
Hi, Mom.
And I don't know.
There you go.
The best of humanity.
I'll tell you the other thing that was fun is after that session was over, I was just kind of shooting the shit with Brett Okamoto outside, and we ran into Todd Duffy. Todd Duffy is in town right now. We talked to him for quite a bit, actually. It was just kind of a fun, kind of lighthearted conversation about the state of MMA with myself, Brett Okamoto, and Todd Duffy. But I can't reveal some of the stuff that Todd said, but Todd's been dealing with some serious health issues, man. Like, I mean, and I don't think that's any revelation. I mean, he's been having a lot of trouble over the years. He kind of explained some of it, but it was an off-the-record kind of conversation, and it's his story to tell. But he is trying to fight again. And Todd Duffy, man, an exciting dude. That when that dude is on point, he is dangerous and he's fun. And he said he's trying to work through some couple things. He's come to the USCPI, getting some medical advice from
those
guys.
Right,
and yeah, dude, he's still a big dude, man. He's actually slimmed down a little bit, but he looked good. He looked good,
what
I mean?
Still heavyweight, though, right?
Oh, yeah, he's still like 240, but he's just not walking around like 270 or whatever. So, anyway, sounds like he's trying to bust his ass so we can fight again. So,
that's good.
Yeah, cool stuff. So he'll be in town for, I think he's leaving tomorrow, actually, but it was good catching up
Irish
with Todd Duffy.
Irish car bomb.
Todd Duffy is the Irish car bomb?
No, that's what this wiki's saying. It's like,
what?
Other name, it says the Irish car bomb.
On Wikipedia?
No. What is this? This has to be wiki, right?
Todd Duffy, the Irish car bomb?
Let me look it up. It's got to be it.
No way. I've never heard that.
I haven't either. That's what I was
What are you
surprised.
Watching?
No, I just did a Google search, and it came up off to the right-hand side. Yeah, it says nickname, the Irish car bomb on wiki.
Son of a bitch.
Unless it's like you and I just going in there and editing and saying his name is the
Wikipedia
Salvadorian slap master or something. So if you guys go there and Todd Duffy is now called the Salvadorian slap master, that was me.
Or if you want to make sure that happens right now,
yeah, go
please
ahead and
do. I'm making the Salvadorian slap master. Good Lord. All right, well, listen, we did say it is a UFC weekend. We're not there. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But I wanted to play an interview real quick while we reset briefly. I had a chance to speak to Jake Matthews. Jake Matthews, of course, the Australian prospect who was still just 23 years old at this point, which is crazy because it seems he's been a Jake happened to call in right now just to set up his own.
John? Yeah? You cunt?
Jake Matthews, just 23 years old, a super prospect in the Australian ranks. And then, of course, he had a couple of losses at lightweight.
Celtic kid.
He's since moved up to welterweight, and he's 2-0 there.
Celtic?
I believe it's the Celtic kid.
Celtic?
But I've never heard of Todd Duffy as the Irish. I have heard for Jake Matthews, but I can't remember if they do it as – I think it's Celtic.
Celtic? Yeah. I bet so. Because they're probably looking at it and they're like, you stupid folks.
Otherwise, it would be
Boston
Celtics,
Celtics.
The Celtic slapper.
The Boston Celtics.
All right, listen. What a horrible setup we did for Jake Matthews.
Hopefully
you find the interview better. Jake, how you doing, sir?
Good, how are you, mate?
I'm doing real well, man. Hey, I know it's getting close, so I appreciate you taking a couple minutes of your time, brother.
Nah, no worries. My pleasure.
Awesome, man. Well, let's get it started, man. It's a two-fight winning streak. I mean, some very, very respectable names that you beat there as well. What's that done for you, man? I got to think your confidence is pretty sky high right now.
Yeah, especially the last fight gave me more confidence. I mean, I've always had confidence in my hands. I know what I could do in training, but to be able to bring it into the fight finally, it was good. And like you said, a motivation booster there. So coming into this fight the same, although, you know, not getting too far ahead of myself, got a game opponent ahead of me, so still keeping a level head. And, you know, easy to see anything can happen, so I'm going to go in there 100% focused and try and get the win.
Yeah, you mentioned that last fight. I mean, not only did you have a great performance, but obviously you had to battle through some trouble there as well with the eye pokes and stuff. I wondered, I mean, is that, you know, kind of a character builder or something? I mean, did that give you something special to know, like, man, I can sit through anything, I can deal with anything, and I can still turn in a great performance?
Yeah, I've always known I've had pretty good resolve when it comes to fighting. I mean, you know, I've been near knocked out in my Eddie Had fight with a head kick, and, you know, still can't remember the whole fight, but somehow I managed to fight through it and come back and win the fight. So I've always sort of prided myself on that, and, you know, not becoming complacent. You know, you get poked in the eye and there's nothing done about it. You can't do much. The ref's not gonna take a point off because you tell him to. So just gotta, you know, push through it and find a way to win the fight. And that's what I did.
Yeah, no doubt. Talk to me about how much different a fight week is for you at welterweight. I mean, I guess first of all, I mean, how much of that of the change in divisions is contributing, do you think, to your winning streak? And then, you know, just how much better or easier is a fight week for you without having to worry about, you know, cutting that last 15 pounds?
Yeah, it's. I think it's made all the difference, to be honest, because, you know, back when I was fighting lightweight, I was 19 when I first went to the UFC, so obviously still had some growing to do, and, just towards the end of my lightweight stint, it just became too hard, and each fight I just got progressively a little bit harder, so you didn't really notice it until those last couple of two fights where, just during the fight, just no energy, and actually, you know, health became a bit of an issue after the fight. So I got like a lung condition where I had to be on an asthma pump and, you know, things did my kidney. So when that came into play, it was a no-brainer really. But just, you know, you think going up a weight division, fighting bigger guys is going to be stronger, but it's actually not the case. I'm actually, in my last couple of fights, I feel like the stronger guy. And I think, you know, my cardio feels better. I'm not suffering any like, fatigue or anything just from cutting weight and dieting too much, so it's actually a lot better. And I used to fight welterweight when I was younger, and I still haven't lost a welterweight, actually. I think I'm 9 wins at welterweight, including my before my UFC career. I think I've left it a little bit late, but I think it was the right move going up to welterweight.
I'm curious, Ed. I mean, you know, Robert Whittaker, a guy from your region as well. You know, I remember when he moved up in weight, I thought, man, he is way too small for a middleweight. And then all of a sudden, of course, he's tearing the world up in that division. I mean, did his success, did you look at his success at all and think, I mean, did it inspire you at all to say, look, maybe moving up isn't a bad thing?
Well, actually, after my last fight, you know, at a lightweight in Melbourne, he actually came up to me and said to me, man, you got to go up. So wow. You're too big. And he saw me cut weight and everything, and he said, you're killing yourself. And he said it was the same thing with him. You know, he was, you know, losing his hearing and his vision, cutting weight at welterweight. Wasn't feeling good at all, and he's gone up, and he may be the smaller guy, but he fights 100%. He's got all his energy. He's happy, and I think that's what makes you fight better.
Yeah, no doubt. But I wanted to ask you, too, about that losing streak. I mean, you know, you had so much hype around you, man. You were the it guy, you know, the young stud, and I know you had a lot of attention. You know, dealing with those losses, did you at all get a chance to maybe narrow your circle a little bit, maybe see people jump off the bandwagon that weren't there anymore? I mean, was there any of that happening at all, or you know, has your circle always been pretty much the same?
No, it's pretty much been the same. I mean, all my friends still believe in me, which is in my family, which is the important part. You get the trolls and stuff come out of the woodwork on social media, but then you know, after my last two fights, you know, they've gone quiet again. So yeah, but I don't read into that too much. I know what I can do, and you know, you're gonna go in, and all you can do is go in and give 100%. Sometimes you're not gonna feel good on the day, but if you can go in and give 100%, then you can't really be disappointed with yourself. So that's the way I look at it. And that's why I don't really get nervous for my fights, because I know each fight I'm going to go in, and no matter how I'm feeling, I'm going to give 100%. And if you win, you win. If you lose, then you know, all you can say is that you tried your best.
Nice. You get the call to fight in Singapore. I'm curious kind of what your reaction was. I mean, it's not you know, it's not a short flight, but I guess it's not quite as far as flying to the U.S. and, you know, not all the time change difference, I guess. So what was your reaction? I mean, were you excited for the opportunity? Would you rather, you know, have the fights in Australia like you've done multiple times, or were you kind of up for the challenge?
After my last fight, I was actually thinking about just fighting at the end of the year, because there'd still be three fights within 12 months. But then this fight come up, and you know, I said to my dad, you know, it's still international, but it's still close in terms of time difference. We're only 2 hours behind Melbourne, so you know, instead of getting chucked over to the US and having to do the long haul flight, go overseas, get an international fight, get that experience up before we have to do, you know, maybe go fight in Vegas again or wherever it is in America. So yeah, so changing my mind and I'm taking this fight, which I think was a good idea, and hopefully, you know, either fight in Australia at the end of the year or maybe somewhere else around the world.
So, I mean, would you prefer to fight, you know, in Australia or in that region as much as possible, or do you feel like, you know, you do need to come to Vegas or come to New York or whatever it may be, where the spotlight may be a little bit bigger at some point?
No doubt, you obviously have to go overseas and you know, once you climb the ranks and everything, but I'd be happy to have all my fights in Australia. I love fighting in Australia. It's you know, you've got all the Aussie fans behind you. All my friends and family can come and watch me. It's just a lot more comfortable and relaxed. But, you know, like I said, once you climb up the ranks, it's just part of the job having to go overseas and fight wherever the UFC want you to fight.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we'll talk about the matchup itself. I mean, was Shinsho kind of a unique character? I mean, did you know much about him? Were you up for it right away? Did you have to break him down? Give me an idea what you think about him as an opponent.
We just said yes to the fight. I watched a couple of his fights before that, but yeah, we watched, I think, his last three fights, and it's not too hard to work him out. I mean, he's explosive, comes forward with aggressive combinations early in the fight, and then later in the fight he'll try and, you know, keep his distance and time those shoots, and not too active on the ground. He likes to hold a bit, but in saying that, you know, we don't want to be too set on what we think he's going to do. He could come out and do something completely different. So we're just focusing on his sort of strengths and more what I'm going to do in the fight. But yeah, we've watched his fights a few times over, and we think we've got him worked out. So hopefully we can implement our game plan on the night.
You've been in a couple of tough battles, and you've edged out the decisions. I mean, are you comfortable continuing to go to the judges' cards and have those kind of back and forth battles, or, you know, is it important to you to go out there and maybe get something definitive, get a quicker finish, and get out of there?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get a quick finish. I always go for the quick finish. I mean, even in my last fight, I was throwing hard, but you know, Jing Liang, he doesn't stay down. So I think if it was any other welterweight, I would have finished the fight. But yeah, he's one of the tougher guys, I think. So hopefully this fight can go out. Throw my hands again, get an early finish, whether it's a KO or a submission. So I'm looking to get an early one.
I mean, you're still such a young guy, Jake, but three in a row in the welterweight division would not be bad at all. Give me an idea what the what the overall plan is. I mean, are you starting to look at names and pick people off the list and deal with rankings, or do you still feel like you're growing and developing? I mean, you mentioned maybe Australia. It sounds like they'll be back in November or so. I mean, give me an idea. The win here, you're calling your shot. What do you want to see happen next?
We've done the whole, calling people out thing, and I'm trying to pick some fights, but it doesn't seem to work. They always they never want to fight. So we've, and it seems to be the story every time. So we just live up to the UFC. We've got the best matchmakers, and they know what they're doing, and so we just live up to them, and they've always done well by us and given us good fights, and never thrown me to the wolves, so to speak. So I don't have the energy to trash talk or call people out on social media. I just get in the gym, train hard, stay quiet, and whoever they give me, and then on the day I'll just go out and fight hard.
Do you feel like you're ready for those guys? I mean, obviously we're not talking title shots or thing, but I mean, are you ready for those ranked guys, or do you feel like, I mean, because you're so young, there is still time for you to develop?
Oh, there's obviously time, but I think I can hang with those guys for sure. I've been overseas and trained with those guys before, and done well in the gym against them. I know what I can do in training, and if I bring everything to on fight night, then I can hang with all these guys, I believe.
No doubt, man. All right, brother. Well, I won't take too much of your time. I appreciate it. Sounds like you're going for the quick finish. Are we going to see the hands? Is it going to be the knockout? Is it going to be you got your share of submissions as well. How's this thing play out when you envision it?
I've run the fight over my head. I think it could be either way. I think if he keeps shooting and he starts tiring himself out, I think I'll get a rear naked choke or something like that. I keep seeing that. But, once he gets tired and his shoots stop working, I think I could also knock him out. So could be either way.
Fantastic, Jake. Well, I like I said, I appreciate the time this late in fight week, and best of luck, man. We'll definitely be watching.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Jake Matthews. I'm high on this kid, and he looks great at 170 pounds, and I thought that was incredibly cool. I thought maybe I was, again, being stupid, asking him if maybe Rob Whitaker's success moving from 170 to 185 had encouraged him to move from 155 to 170, and then to hear him say directly that Rob Whitaker had said, bro, you're drawn out, you need to move up, man, you're killing yourself doing this, I thought was pretty funny, because I thought it might have been a stupid question, just be like, hey, you're Australian, you moved up in weight class, he's in Australia, he moved up in weight, but to hear there was a direct connection there, I was pretty excited about. So that's a fight I'm definitely looking forward to at UFC Singapore. Bummed that I'm not there. Kokov, I think do you realize that it was basically a year ago? Do you remember what happened in Singapore a year ago, beyond fight week, lots of stuff happened in terms of the fights, but do you remember the one key moment that had nothing to do with the fight week while we were in Singapore last year?
Remember the people that were trying to get us to do a story on the dog adoption?
That was one thing that happened. We were going to do a story on dog adoption because it's very hard to adopt dogs in Singapore. That was not it. What happened at 6 o'clock in the morning when both of us in separate hotel rooms randomly woke up to go pee and heard our computers going crazy?
Oh, what was it?
Mayweather-McGregor was announced.
Yes.
During Singapore Fight Week last year.
Yeah, I remember where it was like a.
It was like 6 o'clock in the morning.
We're like
hungover. We're in separate hotel rooms. We're hungover, probably hoping we
lights
could sleep
are still
in.
On. Still
lights
sleeping
are still
on top
on.
Of the covers.
Pants and shoes were on because never even got out. And all of a sudden, Skype is dinging and our staff is talking, and we had to wake our ass up and start working on Maymac content.
Yeah.
But it was this week last year. When that fight was announced. But, listen, Singapore, loves Singapore, man. It's a great place. I'm bummed that neither one of us is there, that we don't have any MMA Junkie representation. I'm sure everybody has maybe seen the pictures. It's one of the coolest places. Like, visually, it's awesome. It's incredibly expensive. Here's the MMA Roadshow recommendation. If you're ever traveling to Singapore, bring liquor with you. Bring liquor with you. Because if you're going out to have a cocktail there.
He means like the, what do you call it?
like the duty free.
Hit the duty free.
Hit the duty
like,
free.
Like, don't try to travel with a bottle.
Right, right.
That's just excess weight that you don't want to have
to
worry
about.
That would
be silly. No, no, no. You hit the duty free.
Hit the duty free at the airport before you leave.
That's right.
It's not the cheapest, but it is better than what you're
going
to pay.
It's cheaper, yeah, because anywhere you go out, in, you know, if you're going out, now you can hit some local places and get away with it, but if you hit like the nice areas or whatever, you're going to be paying like $13-14 a beer. And I'm talking about like a bottle of beer of the most common lager. So, yes, if you're ever going to Singapore, make sure you stop at the duty-free.
Light.
Yeah, exactly. We we stopped and got a couple of bottles of whiskey last time. That was the play
right
there.
That was a game changer.
That was a game changer. Listen, this card, I understand it's not the deepest card, but I'm excited for Cowboy Cerrone versus Leon Edwards, no question about it. Listen, I'm a Cowboy Mark. Anytime that guy fights, dude, I want to watch him fight. I think this is a big fight for him, man. You know, this is that kind of, you know, Rocky Edwards believes he's the new guard. You know, I mean, he's got a 5-fight winning streak together, doing some impressive things in division. And now this is his chance to break out. He feels like he's finally getting the name that he wants.
He's been asking for this for years.
Yes, he has.
I went and did a search, trying to either look at some of the old stuff that he's been doing. And this was it a fight night? It was like 2016, I think. He's been calling out Cowboy since 2016. Not calling him out like
but just saying that's a fight he wants.
That's a fight that I want.
He's like, I can beat that guy, and it's a name, and I want it.
And here he is. He's finally got it.
Yep, and now he's getting that opportunity. Meanwhile, Cowboy Cerrone, of course, has had some losses lately, but, you know, believes that he has the ability to win this fight, believes that he's still better than Leon Edwards. And, you know, a couple interviews I've seen, it looks like he's a little bit upset because, you know, Rocky, I don't want to say he's been trash talking because it's not trash talk, but he's just been like kind of pretty matter of factly like, listen, man, this is you're the old guard. I'm the new guy. I'm the new version, man. You know, this is my time, and this is my, you know, I'm using you to make my name. I'm using you to make my career. So I'm very, very interested in this fight. Co-main event, Tyson Pedro versus Ovince St. Preux. Very, very interested in that fight as well. Of course, Tyson Pedro, friend of the MMA Roadshow. We've always been on board his hype train, but he's getting a real test in Ovince St. Preux.
He's not going to be happy with me this week.
No? Oh, did you pick against – you picked against Tyson Pedro?
I know. I haven't picked against him since the beginning.
Yep.
And I don't know. And I'm probably going to get shot in the foot for this one. But, like, OSP, I just – like, something was just telling me that – I wanted to pick OSP this one. So, yeah, I went against Pedro.
In the main event, did you go with Cowboy or did you go with Leon Edwards?
I went Edwards.
I believe it. I think I'm one of the only people that went with Cowboy. But, listen,
Cerrone would have been a heart play for
me. Ride or die on Cowboy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I agree. I mean, to me, it is. Did you see the odds? Leon is a huge favorite.
Yeah, which
shocks
doesn't
me.
Bode well.
Shocks me.
Because usually, I mean, when they're quick to throw like that, sometimes that can get to a fighter's head, I think. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I just looked at it. Just age and just seems really focused and he seems really fit.
With
and
Edwards, definitely.
Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cowboy, I mean, as much – he's got all the heart in the world. And you can never say that he's not going to go in there trying to bang. But just, you know, the superhuman abilities is kind of worn off over time. And I just looking at the age difference and just seeing the youth, I just feel it's – I won't say like a change in the guard because it's not like Cerrone's going anywhere.
Right.
You know, but I just lean that way. But, yeah, as for like the OSP and Pedro, and maybe that's just as much as I love Pedro, you know, OSP, now I feel like maybe that's a heart play for me because even covering him when I was with the UFC, went to like his when we were in like Tennessee, I think went to like his old football. I feel like I've been following this guy around and then like had a lot of really good one-on-one interviews with him. So maybe part of me – wants him to get back to that form of where he was actually a title contender.
Crazy, man. Guy's been fighting – started fighting in Strikeforce in 2010.
Wow.
And then came over to the UFC in 2013. I mean, the guy has been there and done that, man. He's done it all. Fought for a title, of course. I mean, it's a tough test for Tyson Pedro. There's no joke. But
yeah.
I do feel like this is a good fight for Tyson. I think this is going to be his moment. Kind of
it is. If OSP does, I mean, if he doesn't keep that chin down, if he goes in thinking that Tyson doesn't have the power to knock him out, that'll be a mistake, and that'll be a short night to that fight. You know, so hopefully Ovince, I'm just thinking he's gonna make it more of a clinch and wrestling sort of fight.
Yep.
You know, get it to the ground. You know, maybe do some ground and pound. So if he does that and he can control it, I think it's going to be OSP. I mean, that doesn't make for an exciting fight, you know, but it's an effective fight because, yeah, he needs to get back into his winning ways.
No question about it, man. It's a big fight. Jessica Rose Clark and Jesse Jess versus Jessica.
Yeah.
Tough fight here, too. Which one did you go on this one?
That one I went Clark.
I did too.
I love Aya, and I'm all about the Cleveland connection. You know,
she's an Ohio girl. You didn't stay strong with the Buckeyes.
She just came up short sometimes lately, and I don't know if it's just I don't know if it's a lack of focus sometimes recently because she comes in complete what I believe totally focused, but then it's just something mental happens during the fight. It doesn't connect. Mm-hmm. You know, she's slow to pull the trigger sometimes, and maybe this will be the fight where she comes out and bring it. But Jessica, I bet against her – well, not bet, but I chose against her in one of her last fights, and she came out and just completely shocked me. So I just feel like she's got the momentum and she's running forward. So I went with the momentum and I went with her on that particular one. But, yeah, it tore me up because, yeah, my heart's in Ohio, you know, so of course, you know, I just wanted to throw down.
And then you got Jess training here in Vegas.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw Aya, I was like, I want to just choose Aya. But it's like I'm trying to be smarter about actually picking my pick instead of just saying like, oh, hey, it's Matt Brown. Oh, that's who I'm choosing, you know. Trying to be a little bit better about not just picking Ohio guys.
A little bit of expertise in there. Than yeah.
But Stipe Daniel, I am going with Ohio in that one. But that's a whole other one.
That's a whole different one. Well, I think those are the three fights that most people care. I mean, I think those are the big three fights on this card, no question about it. Of course, Daichi Abe and Li Jingliang. Of course, I'm rolling with the leech there, man. I'm a big Jingliang fan.
He's got to be a huge favorite, I would imagine.
He has to be. Pull up the odds here. Minus 280.
That's a lot closer than I thought.
That is. Gosh, Peter Yan is minus 525 or Teruto Ishihara.
Abe's a tough character, though.
Yeah, he is. So I'm excited for that fight. I love watching Jingliang fight. Again, Teruto Ishihara is fun to watch, but he's going against Peter Yan, who is a beast. If you are not familiar with Peter Yan, as we said, just saw the odds. Even though he's making his UFC debut, he is a minus 500 to minus 525. Pretty legit. Pretty legit, dude. So this is somebody worth watching. Some others.
Naoki, then you get to your favorite fight of the night.
Well, hold on. I was going to say, so Naoki anyway is one you want to watch fight as well. Oka Sasaki is one that you want to watch fight as well. I mean, there's some fun fights on here, man. There really are. But earlier this week, I shot a video that I needed help producing, and neither Cold Coffee or our European-based videographer, Abby Subban, decided to edit this video for me. This is beyond my editing skills. I did edit a little preview clip, by the way, all by myself.
I don't know why you think it's beyond. I think you did a wonderful job on that one.
But
I
this
think
one needs – this one this
what,
one
you
needs
just wanted
work.
Fucking little emojis to pop up and say, like, happy, happy.
Well,
it would have been fine if you – I think if you would have played it straight, it would have worked.
If I'd have just edited the video straight? See, I feel like it need. All right. Well, here's – Nobody made my video for me. So here's just the audio portion of my video as I preview a fight that's flying under the radar.
Under the radar.
Under the radar that you need to be paying attention to. And here, exclusively, the world reveal for the video
That's what I was hoping for.
Here it is in all its glory.
While Donald Cerrone and Rocky Edwards will certainly be getting the most headlines this week in Singapore, I say there's something completely different you need to pay attention to as well. I say, keep your eyes on Yadong. Yadong isn't the biggest. You might even say Yadong is undersized. But so far, that hasn't stopped Yadong from performing when it matters most. After a quick finish last time out, there may be some questions to how long Yadong can last when needed. But so far, Yadong has proved capable of performing under the bright lights. Yadong choked Barat Kandari this past November, but now there's a different challenge in Singapore. Can Felipe Aranches handle Yadong? Yadong doesn't have much experience at the highest level, unfortunately, but it can be tough to prepare for Yadong when there's not much tape to watch. The more the world sees of Yadong, the more we'll know moving forward, but for now, Yadong just needs to be ready for 15 hard minutes. Yadong will unquestionably be looking to finish, which could lead to some memorable action. If successful, Yadong could become more in demand, making Saturday in Singapore an important moment. So sure, definitely keep a watchful eye on Cowboy and Rocky. But don't forget Yadong.
So Cold Coffee, what do you think? you need to be paying attention to your dong.
Sponsored by Trojan.
I don't know. Listen, maybe you guys did me a favor by not producing the video. I'll be honest. I had had a few frosty beverages when I came up with the concept for shooting this, and I thought it would be funny. But maybe it would have been disrespectful, or maybe it wasn't even funny at all.
Or I think sometimes, too, when you just play them straight, you edit it straight, and then people get the humor, and then people can't be like, oh, I can't believe you did that.
See, I felt like it needed, like, a,
well, yeah,
a little
then
bit
you,
of a smile.
But then there's no, like, then there's no, like, ah, do they really mean this, or did they not? Then it's just like, oh, then it's just a straight dick vid. Joke vid, whatever.
Oh, is that what you thought it was? No.
Would that be monetized, removed? You had a whole video that just talked about dongs. No, it was one guy. Song Yadong.
Well, there you go. So that is the Yadong video that never got produced. And
I'm excited for that.
Maybe
I hope
funny.
That goes. I hope that goes long and deep into the rounds.
All right, well, listen, PFL is in the books, as we said. It was kind of playing out as we've been recording this. Will Brooks did pick up a unanimous decision win over Luis Firmino in the main event. Brian Foster, a knockout win over Ramsey Nijem. Kayla Harrison, the two-time gold medal winner in the Olympics in judo. She made her professional debut, got the arm bar. Everett Escudero picked up a submission win over Jason High. Jason High was furious after this fight.
Yeah.
Felt as if, and I have to say, it didn't look like he tapped to me. I understand that he put his hand on the side, but it looked like he was feeling for the arm, and the referee
remember,
stopped
tap's
it.
Supposed to be, well, I mean, this is PFL. It's supposed to be multiple taps.
Yeah. And
tap.
Didn't tap. He tapped one time, if that, and again, I don't think it was a tap. Jason High, ironically enough, did put his hands on the referee again. Not the shove that he gave that got him kicked out of the UFC, but did touch a referee again. So I don't know if that helps him in his quest to ever get back to the UFC. And then he was pissed afterwards, throwing chairs around, storming off. We saw Carlos Silva chasing after him. Just so you know, Dan Stupp and Matt Erickson are both at the event. I mean, it literally just ended as we're sitting down to record this. But check out MMA Junkie tonight and in the morning. They'll have full coverage of it. Sean O'Connell picked up the TKO win over Hani Marks. I like Sean O'Connell, man. He is a good dude. He's got a great sense of humor. He had some great fights in the UFC. Still does some broadcasting on Sirius XM, but actually called most of the preliminary card hours before he was supposed to fight on the main card. Then came in and got the first round TKO finish. I thought that was pretty cool, man. I didn't know it was supposed to happen. I don't know if I missed the announcement or maybe they never announced it. Maybe they decided at last moment. But I thought it's cool to see Sean O'Connell calling the prelims and then picking up a TKO win. A lot of other results here, of course. This was a deep card. I thought the most impressive on the prelims was definitely Vinny Magalhães, who looked incredible in his win over Jimmy Abdallah. But some weird commission things, by the way, that I've been in contact with Matt Erickson and Dan Stupp. They're going to follow up on this. Interesting that you had two between-round stoppages, okay? Rakeem Cleveland picked up a win over Rashid Yusupov, and Brandon Halsey picked up a win over Smiljan Rama. Both of them ended between the second and third round. But rather than call it a round two finish at 5 minutes, they called it a round three finish at 0-0-1. Now, normally you go, well, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? You picked up a win, you get the check. But here's a system based on points. They both got cost a point because of the way the commission calls it. Now, who knows? At the end of the day, hopefully.
You could probably appeal that.
Well, hopefully at the end of the day it doesn't cost them. But can you imagine if it cost them a spot in a tournament or what their seeding is or whatever, whatever the case may be. Kind of crazy, right, that like a commission rule, which seems like a stupid rule.
But it makes you think that they could – it's not like the commission is putting the points together for the scoring. So you would think that maybe the PFL can be like, okay, in this particular instance
– that is true,
you
right?
You know, that we
that
can
is
say
true,
like – because
commission doesn't govern the points.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where they could say, all right, commission put it like this, but we understand it was after the end of the two, so we're going to say that took two rounds.
And
I don't know.
It seems like
there's maybe some leeway that maybe they can get 2 points out
of it. I agree. Let's say you can't say what I would say, but if you were running the PFL, would you do that? Because I think, not to disrespect the commission, But that's essentially a technicality.
Yeah, I would say since
I
it,
think I would give him the bonus
third
point.
Round never stopped. I would consider that was only
I would
two
give him
rounds.
The extra point, right?
Yeah, I would.
I would do it too. I'll be interested to see what they do. Again, Matt Erickson, Dan Stubb are going to follow up, so we'll have that on MMA Junkie tomorrow. The other one that was weird, and this was early on. I was still at home. I'm not sure. We weren't together yet when this happened.
I wasn't watching.
Okay. Robert Whiteley picked up a TKO win over Thiago Tavares. Robert Whiteley, who, by the way, was on MMA Junkie Radio this morning and is one of the nicest dudes and seemed like a really cool cat. But he just – I mean, he hit Thiago Tavares low. He caught him in the groin. Ugly. I mean, dude, Thiago Tavares, of course, who everybody's familiar with, longtime UFC veteran, couldn't stand. I mean, he could not stand up. He was in such visible pain, could not stand up. Of course, Robert Whiteley wasn't targeting the groin, but that's where he caught him with this kick. Thiago Tavares was given 5 minutes, could not recover with the 5 minutes. Fight was waved off, and they gave Whiteley a TKO win.
Wow.
I don't understand. I don't even understand how you could justify that. Like, I won by a kick to the groin? And they said, well, it was an accidental kick to the groin, and he couldn't continue. Okay, then that's a no contest.
No contest.
You know what I mean? Like, bizarre.
Yeah, it is bizarre. I would have thought it would have been a no contest.
Yeah, it sounds like Thiago Tavares is going to appeal it. But the funny thing was, so I was still
especially
at home.
It was right at the beginning of the second
round.
Yeah,
35 seconds in. Yeah. It wasn't like he was getting lit up. I actually reached out to the PFL, and I was like, hey, listen, I know we've got reporters there, but help me understand, why did this happen? And they said, listen, it was the commission's call. It wasn't our call. The commission said he wins by TKO. Because I thought maybe it was like a PFL thing, like, hey, bro, we got to award points somehow, so we got to give somebody points. And it wasn't. It was a commission thing, but this is another one to keep an eye on. Last thing I want to say about PFL. Efren Escudero, who beat Jason High, he missed weight. He stepped in on late notice in this. He missed weight. And the penalty that PFL came up with was to give him 0 points. Even though he won, he wasn't able to get any points towards the playoffs. And I thought that was a cool way for them to handle weight loss. I thought that was smart. A cool way for them to handle weight misses or whatever. Dude, I'm on board with the PFL. I like it, man. I like the concept. I'm a little worried because they're paying out $10 million, so I'll just be open and honest about that. But I do love the contest. I feel like they have some decent names in there. Kayla Harrison looked good, even though she's not part of their season. She looked good. She looks like she's going to be somebody. I don't know. I mean, Kokovi, do you dig this concept? Because I feel like some people say it's gimmicky. I don't think it's gimmicky.
I don't feel gimmicky, but, I think the sustainability seems very, very iffy. So I guess I'm happy for what we're able to see right now, but I guess I want to withhold putting too much into it to see if it's going to be around again.
Right.
but no, I like it. I like the fact that, I mean, most of these cats, I mean, have all been established in other leagues. So, I mean, it's not a bunch of just scrubs just going out there fighting. I mean, like the legit fighters.
They did a good job.
And these are good
talent.
Fights. Yeah. I mean, it's good fights. They're putting together, good matchups, good fighters. So, no, I mean, I'm all for it. And I like the fact that there's other leagues out there growing the sport, doing different things. You know, the more the better. So I hope them the best, man. I hope that, people keep tuning and keep watching. And from what I've seen from the fights tonight, that's the kind of shit that people want to watch. Yep. So, you know.
It's cool. They're on a night by themselves. Thursday, you know, there's not other MMA competition.
That's a good idea.
You know, you got Tuesday night is a contender series. Wednesday night is tough for at least a little bit longer.
Right now, tonight, they're only competing against the damn draft. Who gives a fuck? You rejects.
Only competing against the NBA draft. Minor sporting event. But no, I dig it. But I am with you. Listen, they're laying out $10 million in prize money. That's a lot of money. So we'll see. But I like the concept. And I will say this too. There's something cool about looking at the standings. Like it's kind of like when you're a kid, you know what I mean? Like looking at where the team – I mean, I guess everybody looks at standings. You don't have to be a kid or whatever. I just don't follow team sports as much as I used to.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you can really see where everybody's position is, I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it. All right, listen. Busy week this week, even though we're not on the UFC. Busy week next week, man. I will be in Temecula for Bellator 201.
Or Temecula, if you like.
No.
No?
Nobody likes Temecula. Timmy.
Rough Riders, sponsor back.
Timmy. Nick Diaz has his day in court, supposedly. Now, of course, you never know. Things can change, but that'll be here in Las Vegas. We're going to try to have some coverage of that. I will be out there for Bellator 201. There is a big Bellator press conference in New York where we will be debuting a new associate.
Yeah, y'all going to like this,
I
dog.
Think people are going to be all right
like this.
With our new contributor.
Yes.
That will be covering the Bellator.
Yeah. Hopefully we get.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, you like it.
You'll do it. We're finalizing all the details right now, which is why we can't quite tip our hand just yet. But, yeah, I don't think there'll be any complaints. So that'd be – by the way, you have any guesses? You know, they're teasing fights. We know we kind of know that Rampage and Vanderlei is happening because Vanderlei basically announced it himself. My understanding is they're going to announce some more fights while they're there. So I imagine we'll probably get some ideas on the next round of the Bellator of the Grand Prix, right? I mean, we don't know when the semifinals are supposed to take place yet.
Yeah, it is.
I'm guessing we'll find that out. That's just a guess.
So that'd be like what Fedor and Chael.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Who else is still there?
We'll find out with that.
Yeah, I bet that'll be announced.
Yeah, and then Bedor and Mitrione, right?
Yeah,
on the other side.
They got to announce it. I mean, if you're going to put a big thing together, you got to
got to announce that. But here's the other thing. They teased it in the press release they sent to everybody is a new distribution deal. A new distribution deal, or it said a landmark distribution deal is what they said.
Over the top. It's got to be over the top.
It's got to be streaming, right? Streaming. It's got to be something streaming.
Streaming.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of Viacom.
Because they already do prelims on the Bellator app. They already do prelims on the Bellator app. But they know that people are pissed off that they can't get it live. You know what I mean? Like, everybody is sick and tired of the West Coast tape delay. Everybody is sick and tired of the international tape delay. And I believe the way you would get around that would be to stream it live, right?
Yeah, and looking at this, February, an article came out and said Viacom was going to launch a streaming service later this year. So I bet this is probably something that they're trying to throw on
the
there.
The CFO of Viacom is going to be there. I mean, you might have nailed it right there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this the CEO. That's got to be it.
Yeah.
They probably want to throw some
kind of Viacom
service.
Streaming app.
Yep.
I bet you're right.
That's it.
That's a guess, but, I mean, that's a very educated guess.
It's fast.
I tried poking around. We got some friends at Bellator. We got a lot of friends at Bellator. They were tight-lipped. They were like, bro, I can't tell you. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, is it this? They're like, bro, I can't tell you. I'm like, come on, man. I was like, I won't tell anybody. Just let
me
know.
Because even in this one, it said this guy, the CEO, said told investors he plans to roll out a direct-to-consumer product that leverages around 10,000 hours of library content. So, it's got to be over the top stuff. Everybody's going the way. If you guys aren't doing it right now, I guarantee you guys are all smart. You're all doing it. It's the way of the future, man.
Got to.
Everybody's doing it, man. The cable stuff's. It's good.
I went ahead and subscribed to ESPN Plus, knowing that the UFC is going over there. ESPN Plus, man, there's so much content on there. A lot of it is like now they're trying to build their content, which is one of the reasons they're paying for the UFC.
What are you using?
Holy Christ! There's I'm just using it on my computer. I have an Apple TV, but it's an old Apple TV, and you have to have one of the newer versions.
I was gonna say my Roku. I think it still has the same original ESPN.
Yeah,
if you have, and I
research it. So you have to have a newer version of the devices, but if you have the newer version of streaming devices, then you can just access it right there from like Apple TV or Roku or whatever. So right now,
they'd have to make that redundant, man. You can't force everybody to have to go out and buy fucking new hardware.
I think it's capabilities or something. But so like last night, so I have a 27 inch iMac at home, you know. When I'm at home, I use that more than I use this MacBook here. So like last night, I watched Hillsborough, which was cool. So if you subscribe to the ESPN Plus app, you get all of the 30 for 30s, like every 30 for 30 they've ever done. And I think this was actually done by the BBC, but Hillsborough was about the Liverpool disaster that happened when
they lost the game not too long ago.
Not that disaster. 83 people died in a stadium incident, and it's a big thing. And I thought I knew the story, but I didn't. And this like was really educational, but it was fucking incredibly well done, man. It was powerful.
That's cool.
I really enjoyed that. But dude, those 30 for 30s are so great, man.
That's legit.
Such a great series.
Such good shit.
It was funny, I guess, in that conversation with me and Brett Okamoto and Todd Duffy the other day, we were talking about, I bet you one of these days, like, ESPN does a 30 for 30 on, like, the TRT era, because that was such an interesting time in MMA, right? Where, like, you know, is
guys
he cheating? Is he not cheating? Is he, yeah, why does he, you know, remember at one time, I mean, like, Dana and I think even a lot of media, including, I will be honest, I was one of those people that were like, well, I mean, if they're approving it, like, this is cool, dude. If you can help people extend their careers, like, this is awesome. And then you start realizing, like, yeah, bro, but everybody's cheating. Like, they're not like they're not using it exactly as directed.
They're not using it. Yeah. It was a legit medical. so issue, but yeah.
I think that'll be a cool 30 for 30 one of these days. But anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's probably true. So yeah, Tuesday is the Nick Diaz court date. Tuesday, of course, is Dana White's contender series. Tuesday is the Bellator press conference in New York. So Tuesday is a crazy day. Wednesday, there's a Brian Ortega media lunch in Los Angeles. Our buddy Dave Mandel is going to be handling that for us out there. Thursday is the media day for you here in Las Vegas. They're already starting out fight week. And then the week after that is fight week. International fight week is going to be nuts. It's going to be fun, though. Our man Mike Bond is coming down to help us cover it. And our buddy Simon Head is making it over from the UK as well. Yeah, yeah, he's coming over.
Who's he working? Coming over for?
Simon?
Yeah.
He's working. He's doing some stuff for BBC, but.
Oh, that's cool.
But he's actually, he might help us out a little bit as well while he's here. He's going to crash with me. I hooked him up.
Oh, yeah. Well.
My wife and kid are gone.
Well,
I need
the
some
wife's
company.
Gone. Might as well bring Simon in.
Gotta get a little head.
Giggity, giggity. Sponsored by Trojan.
So ridiculous. We're idiots. I'm never going to grow up. I made an entire, well, I tried to make a video about your dong. That's why I'm never going to grow up.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, listen, yeah, we're not in Singapore. It sucks. We'll keep it short, snappy this week. Hopefully you enjoyed everything, and thanks for listening.